This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page as well. Glad to have you with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I do know that awkward moments are generally the result of my brain and my mouth not quite in sync. And that, my friends, happens a ton when you're working overnights. Our physical bodies, our minds, not made to rest during the daytime. Believe it or not, not made to rest when the sun is up. It's a physiological reaction to the sun being out to the daylight, and it's our circadian rhythms, and that is why I'm quite sure the bright light shining into our bedroom now from the next door neighbor, I guess we're going to war, because it's been a week since I left my nice note in a card at their mailbox, and I've gotten no response, and the light is still blazing. So we actually have to have a building inspector come and check out the plumbing and the electrical on our new room. It's getting close to being done. It has windows now, which is really exciting. Not a door, just windows. But yeah, most of the pounding is done. They still have to put the shingles on and obviously move the door and stuff. But we're without a washer and dryer now until the new room is operational. And so we're prepared to use every last piece of clothing that we have in our drawers. And that does include drawers. Anyway, the light is still blazing. The inspector's coming by. He's also the guy who's in charge of the building department. And so we're going to ask him, what's our next step? Because we've tried to suggest some solutions to the neighbor. The neighbor is not inclined to change a damn thing. And so that's where we are.
Well, I would have been in there with a bulldozer by now.
A bulldozer in his yard?
Yes.
To do what? Take out his garage?
Take out his light.
Well, the light is on the garage.
Take out his garage.
Nice. Well, that wouldn't land me in jail or anything.
No, not at all.
I don't want to go to jail over the light.
All provoked. That's it.
It's kind of interesting that people keep suggesting ways to block out the light in my bedroom, not quite understanding that that huge globe light on the side of his garage is not just lighting up our bedroom. It's our spare bedroom. It's coming through the skylight in our bathroom. Every single room on the back of our house is lit up with this unnatural LED white light. And it's based on dusk to dawn. So that's how it comes on and goes off, which means when we turn our clocks back in November, it's going to come on at 4:30 in the afternoon. Right now, it's coming on before 7 p.m. Ugh. It's staying on for 12 hours. It's unnatural. And in our neighborhood, there's a chance. Now, I don't know if you all have had this experience, but there's a lot of talk about the northern lights, Aurora Borealis, because of this sunstorm. It's a geostorm that's taking place, and it's... Don't ask me all the physics of it, but this geostorm, this storm on the sun, is making, not only is it interfering with your radios and sometimes your TVs and even cell service, but it's making it possible for the Aurora Borealis to be seen as far south as the Midwest, which is amazing. So we're talking about down into places like Texas. I have friends in Massachusetts who are taking videos of the Aurora Borealis, and same thing in parts of New Jersey. I have not seen them. I don't know where to see them, but I am damn sure I won't be able to see them if this bleeping light is shining next door. So we're going to war coming up next week. By next week, we will have filed an official complaint with the town.
Well, I wish you all the best, and you have more patience than anybody.
Yeah, and it could take a while, too, because isn't Monday a holiday? Technically a holiday?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's we'll be here. It's not our holiday weekend. There's too much going on in sports in October to take any time off.
Wait a minute. It's called Aurora Borealis?
The Northern Lights.
Okay.
Yeah, ones that you generally see at the North Pole and in Alaska and that kind of stuff.
Sounds like an 80s shortstop. he's going to play for the California
Angels. Sounds like a member of an 80s band.
That too.
No, but you know what the Northern Lights are, right?
Yes.
Purple and green and blue and golden at times.
Beautiful.
And yeah, they're incredible. I've always wanted to see them with my own eyes. Thought I would have to go to Alaska again to do that. But people are seeing them all over the upper half of the United States. And as I say, we've even got people who've seen them in Texas. Friends of my husband they posted them on their Facebook pages. So
they've also seen your light in Texas.
Yeah, that's so true and so depressing. I love that you laugh at that. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Not at that. I laugh at how ridiculous it is.
It's so ridiculous. And it could take a couple weeks too. And I don't know, maybe the neighbors refuse to do anything about it. Even if there is a formal complaint filed, I just don't know how forceful the town will be. My husband assures me that the town isn't going to just let them go without following an ordinance, especially if someone files a complaint. And I do know that the building inspector, he's very meticulous. We have to have 8 inches around the foundation of our room, like 8 inches clearance. And he's said he's going to have to measure it. Like, you better make sure it's clear because so we know that he's pretty meticulous when it comes to these things. And so we're hoping that he's the same way with the light.
Well, if that doesn't work,
the light and ordinance.
Start having a catch, a baseball catch every day.
Oh, no. Someone suggested a paint gun, paintball.
That could be
the And the fact that they wouldn't even be able to see it from their side. So the light is directly behind their house. So if we were shooting paintballs to the side of the light that faces us, they might not even know the paint was there. And so I asked my husband how accurate, I mean, he's a hunter, a lot of bow hunting, but also rifle. And I asked him, how accurate could you be with a paint gun? And so that's another option. Or just accidentally throwing, as you say, throwing some type of a heavy object at it. Whoopsie. Sorry about that.
That fastball just got right by me.
Wowzers. Oh. We do play Frisbee a lot with the dog in the backyard, so I don't think a Frisbee would break it, though. It's in a globe.
If Nolan Ryan's throwing it, maybe.
Oh, screw that. I could throw a baseball and hit it. That would be no problem, but I just don't want to go to jail. So we're trying to do this the legal way.
It's an accident.
And if we run out of, if we run out of options with the town, then we'll consider something else. I mean, if the town's not going to take care of it, then we'll consider some other type of an avenue.
If the town's not going to take care of it, then there's bigger problems. That's an easy fix for the town.
It really is. It's easy to keep your peeps happy. Okay, we had a doubleheader in the American League, and so we want to talk a little more baseball just because the David Fry moment for the Guardians was tremendous. And I just love the fact that he smashes a home run in his first at bat after coming into the game, so he's a pinch hitter. But then the next at bat, he's asked to lay down a bunt. Talk about a range of skills. Pretty impressive. And what he had to say about the bunt was awesome. So we'll get to the Guardians and the Tigers, who are going to a game 5. But the other ALDS is over in Kansas City.
And Weaver deals to Curiel. A high fly to center. This is it. Judge is there. He makes the catch. Ball game over. American League Division Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
It's the reigning Cy Young Award winner who was able to retire the first 6 batters he faced and get through 7 innings without allowing more than a single run. No walks for Gerrit Cole. He was locked down. We heard from him already. It's jarring to my ears, so I don't want to hear it again. But I do like what Aaron Boone had to say about the difference between this team and the ones in the past that weren't quite able to get to this point.
I feel like we're in a better place right now, just from you know, roster standpoint, health standpoint. But, you know, you get to this point now, we'll be down to the final four. You know, everyone's feeling pretty good about their team. So, and that's the case for me.
Unit!
Hello, Garrett. 39,000 plus at Kauffman Stadium, but they had not seen a Royals win in over a month, so they were unable to get one of these games in Kansas City, though they took one in New York. So the Yankees are headed to the ALCS for the 19th time, get this, to face either the Guardians or the Tigers, right? Because they will have their game five on Saturday night in Cleveland. Right now, if you're looking ahead as a fan of the Guardians or the Tigers, they will have to face whoever the victor is. We'll have to face Carlos Rodon. It looks like he would go in game one of the ALCS, which is set for Monday.
Yes.
Set for Monday. And then Gerrit Cole would be ready to start game number two. But I do think the future is bright for the Royals. So congratulations to them on how far they went. Now, as for David Fry, we'll call this game four the David Fry game, like it was the Kerry Carpenter game in game two of this series between the AL Central rivals. What about that home run for David Fry? Talk about a signature moment.
You dream about it as a kid and think about it all the time and in the off season and when you're working on stuff, and then it happens and it goes by real quick. I remember looking at the dugout and high-fiving Sandy and then just black out, and then you're in the dugout cheering with the boys. It was a lot of fun.
David Fry's one of the best baseball players in this league.
And, nice.
He's just a baseball player. You saw it tonight. You know, pinch hit off the bench, home run, gets a safety squeeze down, game on the line. Just can't say enough about what David has meant to us this year.
That's cool. That's quite the compliment, actually a series of compliments from Stephen Vogt. And then to hear what David had to say when he was asked to lay down the bunt the next at bat after smashing the home run.
Vogt kind of came up to me and was like, hey, how confident are you in getting a bunt down? And I told him I wasn't a very good hitter in high school, so I'm pretty confident I had to bunt a lot. And he goes, all right, just keep an eye on Ruby for signs. And then right before I went up and he said, go ahead and do it first pitch. And luckily got the run in.
I wasn't a very good hitter in high school, so I had to bunt a lot. My coaches made me bunt when I was in high school. Actually, bunting is a lost art, which is why I like this moment about as much as I like the home run. Who doesn't love a big fly, especially one in a pressure cooker, like a potential elimination game for your team? And actually, the Guardians, well, the Cleveland organization had dropped, 11 consecutive elimination games? So to be able to pull this one out, especially after trailing in the late stages, that's huge. Yeah, a streak of 11 losses in postseason elimination games going all the way back to the 97 World Series. Also a bit of redemption for Emmanuel Clase because he had 5 outs for, and this is not something he's done all year, only his 3rd save of the year in which he had to pitch in multiple innings. So there, you always in the postseason are asking your best guys to do more, to stay out there longer if we're talking about pitchers, especially relievers, when you feel like they're the ones you can trust. You're asking David Fry to lay down a bunt. Though Stephen Vogt says they practiced this a ton during the year and that they actually were a team that relied on the bunt during the year, but it's become a lost art. I remember when I played, we had to bunt all the time. And it can be such a critical tool, can be such a great weapon, especially when teams aren't expecting it. So yeah, you'll have Tarek Skubal starting game 5. This is the future AL Cy Young Award winner for the Tigers. Saturday afternoon, they're back in Cleveland. Looking forward to that one. So we've got a game 5 on Friday night, which I don't love because usually I do Fridays, no sports. Oh, gosh. Speaking of no sports, would you like to know what my husband came up with for date night, Pete?
Yeah. Paintball.
Oh, gosh, I wish. That'd be so much fun. Except that he would come away with welts because I would get him. No, he said to me, and I thought he was talking about golf when he posed it this way. He said, you've been wanting to show off your skills. You've been wanting to see how bad I am. So how about we go? And I thought he was going to say golfing because he swears to me, and we've been to the driving range. I mean, he's not terrible. I've been giving him some pointers, but that's different than being out on a course. he says to me, why don't we go bowling? So we have, yes, we have a reservation to go bowling on Friday evening.
Oh, that's nice.
But do you want to know what gave me a heart attack? So I bowled in leagues as a kid. Bowling was a big part of our lives when my brother and I were little. My mom actually met her husband, they've been married 30 plus years now, but met her husband in a bowling league. So bowling's a big part of our family. We love it. I haven't been in a few years, but love it. However, apparently I am woefully behind the times. Do you know how much it costs to rent lanes? So reserve lanes and rent shoes. I'm assuming the bowling balls come with your rental price. Rent lanes for 90 minutes, which presumably would be two games, I guess, depending upon if there's two or four of you, it's just going to be the two of us. But we're renting lanes and shoes for 90 minutes. Take a wild guess how much that costs.
I'm going to say it probably costs 40, but it should cost 20.
$90.
Oh, we're doing something else then.
$90. Well, that's the thing is, if it were up to me. Oh, no, see, I can't say that because it's my husband's idea and I don't want him to think that I don't want to go bowling. I'm very excited about it. We're going to suck it up and pay for it this one time because we haven't done it ever together. And we're on the cusp of 10 months, our 10 month anniversary. It's next week. So this is kind of our date night for our anniversary. So we're going to do it. Thank God I get paid today. But otherwise, I almost had a heart attack. $90?
That's rough.
I remember when you used to be able to take a family and bowl three games and rent shoes, and you're talking about maybe $35.
Are you getting a chariot drive to the lane?
No. If they even dare charge us for parking, oh my gosh.
Well, here's my question.
Isn't that insane?
Is tonight a rock and bowl night?
That's what I asked him too. I was like, have you ever been rock and bowl? He said, I haven't, but I've heard about it. It's really loud. It's crazy music. It's a Friday night. Sometimes they have theme nights like 80s night or techno or whatever. $90?
Well, if they're doing the rock and bowl night and they have a DJ, that's probably why you're paying for it.
Never in my life would I have thought that bowling would be more expensive than golfing. Golfing is not cheap. It's expensive. I generally have to save money to be able to go, and that's fine. You have to prepare for it. But I never would have expected that it would cost me more to go golfing. I'm sorry, to go bowling for 90 minutes than to go golfing for 3 hours.
Or go to the movies.
Yeah, you can go to matinees, though, for the movies. And that I appreciate. Matinees are about half the price. I don't care if it's old people in the theater with me. That does not bother me at all. $90, Pete?
It's ridiculous.
This may be the one and done. Last time that we go bowling.
Well, you know what? You everything's reserved now. You go for it. You have fun. You have some bowling alley food.
No. We're not paying. I said to him, I'm like, we're taking our own snacks. We're not buying food at the bowling alley.
Bowling alley food has some charm to it. That's why I say
that. Yeah, whatever. It's going to cost us another $40. Are you kidding? Oh, no.
Yeah. No. So it's all sunk cost already.
I also have bills to pay. No.
Mortgages to pay.
No, right? Exactly. Thankfully, that bill's already paid for the month. So that's bowling on Friday night. I'll have the full report next week. Oh, my gosh. At A-Law Radio, by the way, right now we're in a dead heat. The after-hours game of the week, no joke, the two front runners, the two games that are leading the pack are tied exactly 40.8% each. So you're going to have to go and vote and break the tie. The poll is up on our Facebook page. Coming up. Well, we got to dive in. It's quickly morphing into a football Friday. Let's dive into some of these games that we've got on the schedule. Of course, we've got some QB news. We've got all kinds of stuff just because that's how we roll here on our final show of the work week during October. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
For the ball game, fourth and goal. Prescott in the gun, snap is back. He has some time. He throws it in the end zone. It's a touchdown to Jalen Tolbert on the left side of the end zone, crossing in front of Deshaun Elliott with 20 seconds to play. Goodness
gracious me.
Goff is under center at his 30, leading by 8, late third, gets the snap, first and 10, throws up the middle, it's caught on the fly, grabbed here by Jameson Williams, the 40, downfield the 30, far sideline the 20, gets a block at the 10, down the sideline, touchdown. What a play! 70-yard touchdown pass! Jared Goff to Jameson Williams. On a simple pass play that he just took down that far sideline and never turned his helmet backwards. And the lead is extended again for the Lions. 34-20 late in the third.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, yeah, heading into a football Friday with some delicious matchups on the schedule. And I would say Seattle and San Francisco might have qualified for an after-hours game of the week had it not been on Thursday night. But we generally tend to jip the Thursday night affairs because we don't start the poll till after it's done. But it was a good back and forth, maybe a little nerve-wracking for Niners fans who had to watch the Seahawks pull within six after being down by 20. A familiar pattern. Even Fred Warner said he was thinking about their last two NFC West divisional battles because the exact same thing happened. Although this time the Niners able to slam the door. So that is where we kick off game number six. We'll talk more about it. Game number six. Well, it was game number six for them. Week number six for the rest of the NFL. We'll talk more about it coming up next hour. But inside that same AFC West, it was just the Cardinals who were able to eclipse the Niners, kind of stun them in the Bay Area. And the Cardinals are part of our poll. Cardinals and Packers. I didn't know it was Kyler's first trip to Green Bay. So that's one of the options. Also, Bills and Jets, which is Monday night. We'll get to the Jets and the change they've got. Well documented. I think it should maybe go a long way or a short way. Maybe it only goes a few inches into convincing you that Aaron Rodgers did not go to the owner of the Jets to get Robert Saleh fired because of a change that Saleh was planning to make. Really convoluted, right? Sometimes you got to make up all kinds of circumstantial evidence to fit your narrative. But Bills and Jets are coming up on Monday night. Now, the top two contenders for Game of the Week. It's a very tight poll right now on both Twix at Amy After Hours as well as our Facebook page. We've got Ravens and Commanders. This is the first time that Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels will be on the same field, though not at the same time, because that would be weird. These two obviously very close in terms of geographical proximity, but the Commanders have won four straight, and right now they're tied for second best record in the NFL behind the Vikings, who are 5-0.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chiefs, who are 5-0. But the Ravens are playing better as well. This is going to be a tremendous matchup. Really excited about it. That leaves us with Cowboys and Lions. And you heard a couple of calls coming out of the break. Brad Sham on Cowboys radio when last we saw Dallas. It was Sunday night, just before midnight Central time. But the game was in Pittsburgh. But just before 1 a.m. Eastern time because of the rain delay, the weather delay. And so the Cowboys, after all of the squandered chances in the red zone, they were able to score the go-ahead touchdown with 20 seconds to go and beat the Steelers. Terrific. Dak Prescott on fourth and goal. He throws that touchdown. And they snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. But now Dak and his offense has to go against that Detroit defense, which is tough and physical and could pose a challenge.
I expect them to come out with the personality of the same team that they've been. I mean, credit to their coach, Dan Campbell. Credit to their roster. I mean, you look at them, you watch the way that they play, aggressive, physical guys.
It's a conference opponent, and, you know, they've had our number for a while, and you know, I grew up down there, so I have a lot of people there. It's just, I think it'll be a special game.
So he's looking forward to it because it's in Dallas, and he knows a lot of people there, and it's an area familiar to him. Remember,
I've got controlled fury.
I swear to God, I'm not a lunatic.
I'm good.
Remember when the Cowboys were nearly unbeatable at home? For a stretch, they were unbeatable at home until they got walloped by the Packers out of the same NFC North division at AT&T Stadium, and now it's not quite the same for these Cowboys. Maybe AT&T is not so intimidating to visiting teams. Right now, they're 0-2 to start the season. So they've dropped three games in a row in their own house. Can they turn that around? Well, we know the Lions, they're 3-1 now, and they're going to want to use that power run game. That has been a weakness for the Cowboys, is their run defense. So can the Lions establish the run? Of course, the ball control is so huge. Right now, Cowboys are 24th in the NFL against the rush. And they're in the bottom third of the NFL when it comes to their scoring defense, meaning how many points they give up. As for the Lions offense, overall third best in the NFL. Not something that you would expect to say about the Lions in recent years, but with Jared Goff, with the ability to run the ball, with some of their great weapons like Amon-Ra, I mean, they've really come on in terms of their offense and have gelled. So yeah, can they establish that ball control? Can they run the ball, maybe use the run to then set up the pass for Goff and his weapons?
Yeah, they've been playing really good football. They're a good defense. They're well coached. You can tell they're sound. They do a good job. They got a veteran guy, Eric Kendricks, in the middle. Does a good job getting everyone lined up, and they fly around. They're a good defense.
Remember the last time we saw the Lions? Jared Goff completed all 18 of his passes. That was the victory against Seattle, remember? The Lions coming off a bye, too, so they've had a little more time to prepare for this particular game. So we haven't seen him throw an incompletion since, let's see, he didn't throw one against Seattle, so it would have been the week before against, I'm going to go and look at their schedule so I don't get this wrong, because sometimes the dates, against the Cardinals. The last time he threw an incompletion was against the Cardinals, and that was a tight win on the road in the desert. Goes all the way back to September 22nd. So I don't know if that counts as a streak, but of course somebody out there is keeping track. So Jared Goff has been showing off the accuracy and obviously has a lot of great people around him that he can throw to, a lot of great guys that he can rely on. But what's been really impressive is how they've used that offensive line to be able to establish the run. Jahmyr Gibbs has been terrific, of course. But they do have good weapons to throw to when they need to. So I'm excited about this matchup, though right now it's not the one in the lead. By the way, that was it Kevin Harlan with the call on Westwood One radio from the last time that we saw Jared Goff and the Lions. That was against the Seahawks. So this is, I'm assuming, a nationally televised game. So most of us will get it. And you know what's really funny? Tom Brady, who's still getting his feet wet as an NFL lead analyst, apparently is calling like 7 or 8 Cowboys games this year. And so I think I read this is either his third Cowboys game in a row or his 3 of 4. he keeps getting, well, because the Cowboys are America's team.
There's a lot of bad football from what I watch.
And there was supposed to be a lot of excitement around these Cowboys. Jerry Jones, his staff, his family, they're all in. Baby, the roster, all in. But they are certainly missing a few pieces.
Got it, Jack.
I don't think Micah Parsons is expected to be back this week. And so I'm kind of bummed about that because I really do love seeing him. What we did see from the Cowboys last week that I feel like could be a benefit to them is Rico Dowdle. And he played a critical role for them. Now, they did bring back Ezekiel Elliott, and he's not had a ton of activity. They're not using him as a feature back for obvious reasons, but maybe a little bit different considering it's his second tour of duty with the Cowboys and his role used to be as the bell cow.
It's definitely a little different, but just keep my head down, you know, continue to work, and hopefully my opportunity comes.
Get me some oxygen.
Dowdle is an undrafted guy. He's been kicking around the league for a bit, but he had career highs in carries and rushing yards, 87. Also went over 100 yards from the line of scrimmage. That was against the Steelers. And so now he's become RB1, and Elliott is behind him. Even though he's a two-time rushing champion, we know that Father Time definitely does not wait for running backs. And yeah, Dallas has been woeful at running the ball. So if they can get anything from Dowdle, they can maybe balance that out a little bit so that it's not Dak Prescott constantly chucking and ducking and trying to force the issue in the red zone specifically, because they've been rough in the red zone too.
So a
lot of different ways that this can break. We don't want any more coaches fired in midseason. And I know people are calling for the job of Mike McCarthy every single time the Cowboys don't look like Super Bowl champions. I guess that's life in the NFL, right? Same thing for Mike Tomlin and other coaches out there.
We're excited.
At Amy After Hours. Now, you may be excited, but nothing like Todd Bowles. That's excitement. And I hope it carries over to their game in New Orleans.
It's excited!
It's like a laugh track too. That's the best. Okay. All right, at Amy After Hours, if you think Cowboys and Lions is the game of the week, I don't know. Ravens and Commanders starting to pull away just a little bit, but I know that maybe because we've got Baltimore and Washington listening on our affiliates, although we should have Detroit as well. So you all vote. Also on Facebook, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network, Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, the 49ers and Seahawks now tied atop the NFC West. As San Francisco went on the road for a 36-24 victory. Brock Purdy, 255, three touchdowns in the air. Deebo Samuel, 102 yards receiving, including a 76-yard score. George Kittle, a pair of touchdown receptions, while Geno Smith threw for 312, a touchdown but two picks. As Seattle turned it over three times in all, both teams now sit at 3-3. Jets have themselves a new play caller under new interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich. Todd Downing will now call the plays, with Nathaniel Hackett getting demoted. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers giving some more clarity as to how everyone came to find out about the firing of Robert Saleh.
It started as one of his, like, a scene out of John Wick when he becomes excommunicado and everybody at the Continental gets a buzz on their phone. I think I said this on McAfee yesterday, but that's literally how it was. The phone starts buzzing and you're faced with the reality.
Russell Wilson, a full participant in practice for a second straight day for the Steelers. So what's going to be his role come Sunday?
That's a big question. I think, for me, I'm preparing my mind to get ready to go and everything else. So that's kind of my mentality and help us win and whatever that is. And so, I'm just getting prepared for Friday.
Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson also practiced fully for the first time since his oblique injury. Unclear if he'll be able to go Sunday or if Joe Flacco will again make the start. Baseball playoffs, Gerrit Cole had a run over seven, led the Yankees by the Royals 3-1 as the Bombers take the series in four. Meanwhile, the Guardians in danger of being sent home, but it was David Fry to the rescue.
The 2-2 delivery. Swung on, hit a ton, deep left, green, back, track, wall, gone! David Fry! Off the bench, a two-strike, two-out, two two-run home run.
Giving the Guardians the lead for keeps as he knocked in three and all as the Guardians withstood the Tigers 5-4 to force a game five back in Cleveland on Saturday. Tom Hamilton, the call, Guardians Radio Network. In WNBA Finals, the Lynx outlasted the Liberty in overtime 95-93 as they rallied from 18 points down to take game one. I'm Marco Belletti.
Two wide receivers to the right and three to the left. McCaffrey and Ertz next to each other inside the numbers. McCaffrey chip blocks. Jaden loads one up towards the Miami run. He's got him! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Daniels to Brown on a bomb!
It was just a matter of time when Jaden Daniels was going to come up with a big shot down the field. Excellent pass protection. Using Luke McCaffrey as a chip block on Miles there. Time, and Deami Brown had 2 yards on Emerson.
Second and goal. Ball just outside the Bengals' six. Justice Hill in the backfield. Lamar in the shotgun. Lamar bobbles the snap. Has to pick it up off the turf. He's being chased. Corralled. Stiff arms a man. Sam Hubbard. And finally slings in the back of the end zone. Touchdown! Isaiah Likely. Oh, my! Unbelievable! That. Lamar Jackson bobbled the snap. Picked it up off the turf. Stiff-armed Sam Hubbard, a la Derrick Henry, extended the play, threw back across his body, and hit the tight end. In other words, he did everything wrong for the perfect outcome.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We've got two quarterbacks that are considered must-see TV right now, but it's not just about the QBs. You know this. The Commanders have established themselves as the top team in the NFC East. What? Wait, what? Good for you, Dan Quinn. I like it. He waited for the right opportunity. He felt like this was the job for him after passing up, what was it, two hiring cycles as the DC of the Cowboys, and of course ends up in the same NFC East. And right now the Commanders are riding a four-game win streak. Both of these quarterbacks are getting a ton of attention. This is how it goes. When you're a quarterback, you absorb way more of the credit and the attention, but you also get blamed for pretty much everything when it goes wrong until the shine comes off, right? So the Ravens, they've got their two-time MVP as their quarterback, and that call with Jerry Sandusky on Ravens Radio, before that, Bram Weinstein on Commanders Radio. The Ravens go into a shootout with the Bengals. It requires overtime. We had a fumble by Lamar in overtime, but the Bengals couldn't take advantage, and so they get the ball back, and they get their late field goal. It was a really good game. Can they come off of that one now and host the Commanders and take care of their business? I mean, some of the mistakes that'll come back to bite you in the rear against a really good team. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I mean, you're not going to believe it when I say it, but it is true. Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders have scored the most points in the NFL this season. How about that? How about that? That's terrific. Now, he has said all week that he doesn't like being compared to Lamar Jackson. Of course, he wants to be his own man. That makes sense. Well, he's already got Lamar's attention. Lamar is a big fan of the Heisman Trophy winner.
I've been catching glimpses of him, his play on social media and stuff like that, and he's going off. He's doing what we've seen in college. What got him the Heisman? No doubt. I wasn't really able to catch games. I really don't catch a lot of college games, but when I did watch him play, he was just doing an amazing job. That's why he had my Heisman vote.
I don't like when people really like try to compare me to Lamar, and vice versa. You know, we're two different players, and just go out there, just you know, just appreciate what the quarterback play is being played. So that's what I try to do, is just appreciate everybody for who they are.
He's his own player. He's his own man. At the end of the day, we're trying to make a name by ourselves, not anyone else. So I agree with that.
both Lamar and Jaden just wanting to be considered as their own special cases, their own special exhibits, and their unique quarterbacks. It's really impressive to see what Jaden has done only because it's so early in his career. And while the start of Lamar's career was a lot more about the run game, he's a more balanced quarterback now and obviously has the MVPs. He's got that wisdom. He's got that experience. For Jaden, what people love is the leadership. They love the poise. They love the vision that they see already, even from a rookie. We really enjoyed talking to Mark Ross, whose background is scouting and player evaluation, about Jaden Daniels. And if you didn't hear what he had to say, you know, he goes back even to his LSU days and what he saw from him then, and the fact that he's seeing that same guy in the NFL. And he said one of the things that scouts look for, especially when they've got a rookie on the NFL field for the first time, is, are they the same guy? Do they have the same command? Are you seeing the same skills and qualities translate at the next level? And so right now we're talking about a guy who's thrown for over 1,100 yards, 4 touchdown passes, only 2 picks, which is huge for a rookie. And he's leading the NFL in terms of his accuracy and his completion percentage, 77.5%. Now, the reason why there are fewer passing touchdowns, he's a dual threat at this point. He's run for over 300 yards. He's got 4 touchdowns on the ground. And yes, it's neat, of course, to draw any comparison to an established quarterback, especially an MVP. But Zach Ertz even was saying it's not fair to Jaden or to Lamar to put them in the same sentence or to compare them at this point.
It's tough to compare anyone to Lamar. He's a 2-time MVP, one of the best players in the league for a very long time. And Jaden's, he just had his 5th game in the league. We got all the confidence in the world that he's going to be in that kind of in that conversation for a long time. But I think it's a disservice to both players, honestly. I think Lamar's, I can't speak highly enough of him, and I can't speak highly enough of Jaden as well. But it's still so early in his career. And it's about continued success in this league. And we got all the confidence in the world that Jaden's going to be that guy for a long time. But we also don't need him to feel like he's got to go out there and outdo Lamar. He's just got to go out there and be the best version of himself. And that goes for the same for all of us.
So there's one narrative, right, is that Jaden has to beat Lamar. And that's not the case. It's never the case. When quarterbacks get on the field together, they're not playing each other. I hate that. I hate quarterback wins. It's not a viable stat. It drives me crazy. But I do think that this is important. And there's a lot of theories as to why. But Baltimore, with Lamar starting at QB, 21-1 against the NFC. He and the Ravens have lost one game against the NFC in his career as the starter with the Ravens. That is a trend. It means a lot, of course. I think part of it has to do with familiarity. The teams in the AFC, they see Lamar more often, but tape is available everywhere. It's just that you can see it on tape and then still have to figure out a way to game plan and contain him, limit him if at all possible. And that's a tough thing to do, right? So I appreciate that Dan Quinn is saying, now tap your brakes. This is not a statement about where we are as the Commanders. I think it's pretty obvious that most people would probably tell you the Commanders are ahead of schedule, a lot like the Texans were a year ago with D'Amico Ryans and with CJ Stroud leading the charge. People were, I would say, of course, impressed, but kind of blown away by how quickly things gelled for Houston. They had a bunch of young players, not just CJ as a rookie. Well, here are the Commanders in a rebuild mode with new ownership, a new coach, their rookie franchise quarterback. They've got a bunch of rookies around him. Again, similar to Houston. But Dan doesn't want this to be some type of a game in which you're measuring the Commanders for where they are at this point.
We're not using it as a measuring stick of where we're at. Like, every time we go, like, we're here to get down and, like, go for it. And so it has no bearing on a measuring stick or any of that.
Maybe not in-house, but there are certainly going to be plenty of people outside the Commanders locker room who do exactly that, and I probably will be one of them. I'm anxious to see how this team does against a legit Super Bowl contender. So to me, that's a big deal. And whether or not you use it as a measuring stick yourself, coach, these are the games that the Commanders need to win in order to get where the Ravens have been, right? The Ravens were the top seed in the AFC last year. I know they didn't get to the Super Bowl, but they've got two Super Bowl wins in their recent past under John Harbaugh. So, yeah, this is a good gauge, even though it's only week six in the NFL. Really excited about this one. Going to be terrific. At the same time, we're excited about the quarterbacks for sure, but I'm anxious to see what the Ravens can do with their passing defense because this has been a weird weakness for them. I'm not sure if you've noticed. Remember last year, the Ravens were the top defense in many metrics in the NFL. And so to kind of look at where they are now and see that they're actually really bad against the pass, not necessarily about the chunk plays, but it's about the fact that they're, according to Kyle Hamilton, they're just not tackling well. They're not hitting their spots. They're not communicating well, too. And so Kyle believes that it's all fixable. It's fundamental stuff. Well, okay, but this is going into week six, and you're about to face the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. So as he says, it's time to actually start doing it. I agree with that. It's just a weird wrinkle with Baltimore that doesn't really make sense to me. But yeah, opponents are averaging close to 300 yards a game. And you think about what they did, what they did against Cincinnati, of course, they were able to score a ton of points. Was it 41-38, I think, was the final? But Joe Burrow passed for nearly 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. So his best game of the season against that Ravens pass defense. So that's also important, too. If the Commanders can pick them apart, then maybe this goes the way of Washington. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.